Everlasting Father in heaven, we come to you, giving you thanks for this day, for blessing us with life that you've given to us, by help and strength, and the privilege and opportunity to come to this place as your people, under these to study your word, and to worship you in spirit and truth. Father, we ask that you be in our midst, that you not only give us a listening ear, but a receptive heart. Bless us as we come, as none of us have come, because we felt we had to, but rather with the sincere desire to worship you, the true and the living God. We pray this morning a special prayer for our dear sister Janet, who is in hospital today. We pray that you be with her. We understand, Father, that you are the great physician. We pray that you be with the doctors and nurses, as always, your agents of healing here on earth, that you guide them, give them wisdom, and a resolute mind that they might perform their tasks in a manner pleasing unto you. We pray for Brother Paul and his family as well, that you give them strength, recognizing that you are always in control. We thank you in advance for what you will do with and for our dear sister, and pray as always that we will commit ourselves to you as the true and the living God who does all things and all things well. We pray a special blessing upon the church here in Leicester and around the world that has become, that we do so, Father, with you as our focus, recognizing that you are the audience, not we ourselves. Bless us, Father, the purpose of our study. Bless those on the way that you give them traveling grace, that they too might be able to partake of the rich blessing of your word. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 We come up to end this. Before we begin, welcome Penny, who's visiting with us from the village. She is the guest of Sister Laverne, and welcome you in our midst today. We are studying the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. The subject is on church discipline, verses 15 through 20. Last week, we reminded you that the scriptures teach that there are three hearings in the matter of church discipline, and that all of those hearings are what we say redemptive in nature. They are redemptive in nature. Could someone read Matthew chapter 18, verse number 18? Matthew 18, 18, please.
18, 18 reads, "Assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven."
Thank you. So we said, with respect to verses 18 to 20, just as a reminder, to in the third stage of this church discipline process to keep the local church spiritual, we said it is important that the local assembly be at its best spiritually before it seeks to discipline a member. And when a church disciplines a member, it actually is examining itself and disciplining itself. This is why the Lord added these words about authority, prayer, and fellowship. We cannot discipline others if we ourselves are not disciplined. The principle is clean up your own backyard before you seek to examine or to judge another brother. Yes? And so whatever Jesus saith, whatever you lose or permit in the assembly must first be permitted where? By God. Whatever is bound in heaven must be bound on earth, and whatever is loose in heaven must also be loose in earth. So we, man, does not have the right to make up what God wants and doesn't want. So we must consult God's word first and then carry it out. And so in the handout that you have here, as we discussed last week, we look at the purpose of church discipline. Why is this in the Bible? God understood that we as humans, man, we have the nature to have problems. Wherever there are people, there are problems. That occur in your household, in your workplace, in your home, wherever there are people, there are going to be problems. And so God put his word in place to regulate our behavior. And so, in order, because we have, and we said, our relationship with God goes two ways. What are those two ways?
Vertical
and horizontal. So our horrontal, brother to brother, brother to sister, husband and wife, one another. When we trespass against one another, not if, because sometimes we sin and don't even realize it. And so when that takes place, there must be some mechanism to bring that relationship back into balance. And so if we must recognize this, for every Christian, if you decide, if I decide to settle my relationship with you, what happens automatically? What happens? If I decide within myself as a Christian, you know what, I'm not coming to church anymore. I'm at odds with my brother and sister in Christ. What happens? My relationship with God is hindered. Yes? And so we must recognize that we do not have the right to make things up as we go along. There are some things or some rules, laws, commandments that you don't have a right to choose not to do. That makes sense? When mama said be home at 6 o'clock, what did mama mean? She meant be home at 6. If not, what about 6:01? You want to come in at 6:01, what's going to happen? Consequences. Isn't that right? Consequences. And so the purpose of church discipline, on the handout it says the biblical reason for this fellowship. What is this fellowship? What is your understanding of this word, this fellowship? Two fellows in the ship, so no fellows in the ship. Yeah? So fellowship is two fellows in a ship, both rowing in the same direction. I cannot have fellowship if I'm in this room and you're in that room. That's not fellowship. We must be in close proximity. We must be in one accord. We must have the same values and understandings. So if one person decides, I'm going to do it this way, there are some things that are matters of opinion, but there are some non-negotiables. Yeah? And so this fellowship, it means you don't associate with that person. Yes? I'm going to see why. The biblical reason for this fellowship adequately justifies such radical procedure surgery on the body, initially listed here in the orders of importance. So, number one, the first reason for church discipline is to do what? To preserve the church as the body of Christ and give it a defense mechanism to protect itself from contamination. The human body is by nature a self-healing mechanism. Yes? God has created the human body to heal itself and also to protect itself. What are your eyelids for? What are your eyelids there for? From what? From foreign objects. Yes? You blink with both things. That was God getting, what is, well, I have less of it. Now, the hearing of your head is there for a reason. As a cushion, your skin is there on your body for a reason. To protect the internal organs, and it regulates itself. That's when we sweat. That is to regulate your body temperature. So the church is supposed to be a self-healing mechanism as well. When you cut yourself or you stub your toe, the whole body gets involved. Isn't that right? The whole body gets involved. It says all attention must take place on this big toe because something is wrong. Same way in the church. We do not have the right to isolate body parts. Yes? And so Matthew 18 verses 8 and 9 says, if your hand or foot causes you to sin, what are you to do? Cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. If you've got problems with your hands, you like stealing, taking other people's stuff, laying hands on people, it says to what? If you got a problem with your eye, you got a wandering eye, fellas, what are you to do? Cut it off, or your feet get you in the wrong, you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Cut it off, it's better to enter into life maimed than to be cast into. And if your eye causes you to sin, what is to do? Pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. It's Jesus saying to literally cut your hand off, cut your foot off, pluck your eye off. Is that what Jesus is saying?
No.
What's he saying? This is spiritual surgery. If the person that I'm hanging around, you know how our company sometimes gets us into trouble? If my company gets me into trouble, maybe I'm the troublemaker. I need to cut some stuff off, cut some people off, cut some behavior off. It's better to have one friend than have two and go to hell. That make sense? I don't know. Number two, what does B say? B says to what? To protect the little ones, i.e. babes. Who are babes in Christ? That's what? Newly baptized or what? Spiritually immature. Huh? Because you had, listen, age, chronological age, you can have been a Christian for 40 years and still be a babe in Christ. You remember Peter said, by now you ought to be on solid food, but you still need milk. Huh? God expects for us to grow up. But there's some people in the church, and again, we have the vulnerable in the church. Yeah? Vulnerable. Huh? What does Matthew chapter 18, verse 6 and 14 say? Matthew 18, verse 6 and 14 says what? Verse 6.
But if anyone curses one of these little ones who believes in him to sin, mm-hmm. it will be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drawn into the depth of the sea. 14. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost.
God has always, in scripture from the Old Testament to the New Testament, I've been an advocate for children, widows, and orphans. All throughout scripture from the Old Testament to the New Testament. That category of individuals are the most vulnerable. Not only the church, but society. And so Jesus says, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin or stumble, it would have been better for him to have a millstone hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. You cause one of the most vulnerable people in the church to stumble because of your behavior. It would have been better. What's a millstone? What did we say a millstone is? What's a millstone? A heavy stone object. Yes, a circular object. And what's it used for? Crushing wheat and grains, yes? To have that huge stone put around your neck and you to be cast into the sea if you cause one of the little ones to stumble. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. You ought to take what you do and don't do can affect my Christianity. Isn't that interesting? So, church discipline is to protect the little ones or the babes in Christ. What is C? To preserve the church's image before the world. Matthew 18, 7 says what? Matthew 18, verse 7.
Woe to the world because of the offenses. Mm. For offenses must come. The woe to that man by whom the offenses come.
Yeah. See, the world does what it does because it doesn't know any better. Yes. Why does a lion roar? Because that's its nature. Why doesn't a lion say meow? Because that's not its nature. But woe to those who cause offense. See, every one of us have influence in here. Every last one of us. And somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you. And it's 9 times out of 10, the people you don't even see. It's not who you see, it's who sees you. Isn't that right? Huh? When you leave your house on Sunday morning, George, the neighbors are watching you. You might not see them. They say, oh, there they go again. You get, oh, you're the man that has that black car.
and I see you leave here such and such a time and your kids and you all get in that car and leave and you come back and everybody's smiling. Yeah, I knew you. Oh, I didn't know. We've been watching you. Yes? So the world is watching. Just imagine. Somebody knocks on your neighbor's door and says, I'm from the Church of Christ, and I want to invite you to church. You say, well, Church of Christ, I never heard of the Church of Christ. Oh, yes, your neighbor, John, is a member of the church. He's a Christian. Is he a Christian? Well, you should hear the parties he has the ability for fantasy comes out of that house. Huh? Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come. That is inevitable. But woe to the man who causes the offense. Jesus is talking to Christians. Not talking to the world, he's talking to Christians. D. So the guilty may be what? Saved in the day of the Lord. Why do we discipline? To save your soul. Deliver such a one, Paul says, to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be what? Saved in the day of the Lord. God will allow you to do whatever you want. Yeah? But our job, if a person chooses a lifestyle that is not in keeping with the word of God, you must turn them over to Satan so that they come to their senses. Yeah? That's what you call tough love. But you know what we do? What do? We keep the relationship instead of doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. I don't want them not to like me. That's not my business. I'm not going to get involved. But if you love me, say, listen, you need to sort your life out. And when you're ready, you come on back down here. The church doors are always open. But we're not going to entertain that here. Yes? Yeah? E. To do what? To thwart divisions in the church and maintain what? Apostolic standards of truth. What are apostolic standards? Everything, well, the majority of the New Testament, it was written through inspiration of the apostles. Yeah. Jesus is free in John 17. Is it John 17? John 17. I do not pray for these alone, but for those who will believe on me through the apostles' words. They, through the Holy Spirit's inspiration, wrote these things down so that you can have something to study. Yes, Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Paul says, now I urge you who? Who's he talking to? The church. Note those who do what? Cause division and offenses contrary to the what? What does the word doctrine mean? Teaching. Yeah? Teaching that you learn and to do what? What are you to do? Note them and avoid them. Note them and avoid them. Yeah? Because here's the question. If you're not teaching the person that you're trying to save their soul, who's teaching who? Who's teaching you? Here is a saying, a true saying. If a person does not accept, take on board, believe the word of God, when I come to them, what else do I have to offer you? What else do I have to, silver and gold, I have none. You know what? People say, huh? But what I do have, what do I have? I'm just coming to bring to you the truth. And if the truth is not going to change your mind, I have nothing else to offer you. F. To isolate the disorderly who do not keep the tradition received from the apostles. What does 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 and 14 say? And I will encourage you to take these scriptures home and read them in their context. Yeah? Read them in their context. Don't say that's what you say, that's what the Bible says. Yes. Acts 11 and verse 26 said the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they did what? They received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to consider whether these things were so. I have nothing to add to you but the word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, is it 1 Timothy? 2 Timothy 2:15? Which one is it? Which one is it? Study to show thyself. Is it 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy?
You see, thank you.
Thank you. See, I need help too. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God. What does that mean? Do your own searching. Do your own searching. Don't take anything that I say or anybody say is from the pulpit unless you can read it for yourself. Study to show thyself approved unto who? God. A workman needeth not be ashamed. What? Rightly divided. What does that mean? Rightly divided. What's that?
To do the examining has been
spent. You, have you ever heard the expression measure twice and cut once? Have you ever heard that before? Now here I go down to, where is it, B&Q? B&Q forums. Now, you say I want a nice big piece of mahogany wood. You know, they're going to charge me 100 pounds of square foot. Well, this thing, so I want to build this cabinet. How careful are you going to be to cut that wood right, the right size? Measure twice, cut once. Why? Because once you start cutting, guess what? You can't uncut. Rightly divide. So when you are examining and cutting God's word and trying to get an understanding, make sure you do it very carefully. Huh? There's a difference between reading the Bible and studying the Bible. So you can read and don't even understand what you're reading. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch? When Philip came to him, what was the first question he asked him? What was that? What did Philip ask the eunuch? Do you understand what you're reading? I can teach you a lot of things, but I can't understand you anything. Isn't that interesting? You went to school, you went, did all this class, and then the exam came, you failed the exam. Why? Because I didn't understand what the material was. The Bible says, in all thy getting, get what? Get understanding. Huh? And then the light bulb goes off, you say, oh, now I understand. You see? So that's the preacher's job. The teacher's job is to help you to get understanding, but you've got to get that yourself. You see that? So, 2 Thessalonians 3:6 says what? 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6 says what? Do we have any more of this hand up, George?
Yeah.
We have some folks here, please. 2 Thessalonians 3:6 says what?
Don't think among you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ,
yes,
to withdraw from every brother who walks in the covenant, and not according to the traditions which you received from us.
And verse 14.
14 reads, and if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person, and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed.
The Bible always, scripture always has a companion scripture. If you read it over here, it's going to be somewhere else too. The Bible interprets itself. God is not going to give you a book that's so complicated that you can't understand it. Now, Paul says, but we the apostles, command you. Who's to you? You Christians, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of, by the authority, that you what? To do what? What's another word for withdrawal? Disfellowship. Disfellowship. Withdraw from every brother who does what? Walks disorderly and not according to the tradition received from us. What did we say? To sort divisions in the church and maintain apostolic standards of truth. Yeah? And if anyone, verse 14, does not obey all words, whose words? The apostle's words in this epistle or letter, what are you to do? Note that person, mark that person, pay attention to that person. And do not what? Keep company with him, that why? That he may be. Is that clear? So, as I say, we're not going building together. We're not going fishing together. We're not going on holiday together. We're not going to the movies together. Because you are not walking according to the traditions of the Bible. Mark that person. Do not keep company with that person. No. We can't stop them from coming to church because this is a public place. Yes, but I can choose how and when I spend my time with that individual. Why? So that they may be ashamed. It's not to say I'm better than you. None of us. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yes? Because I want to get to heaven, I want you to get to heaven too. That makes sense? Number G, to expel the factious man who will do what? Divide the church. Really? I've seen church splits. I've seen the minister almost destroy a congregation because of his behavior. He was married and took another member's wife with him. This is true. Church of Christ. The Bible says in Titus 3:10, reject a divisive man, and after what? The first and second admonition. Two hymns. Brother, what you're teaching is wrong. Your lifestyle is wrong. What's a divisive man? What does divisive mean? They won't do right. No? But some folk specialize in tearing up stuff. Drama. Even in the church. You've heard of, many of you perhaps have seen or heard of church scandals all over the place. Yeah? You remember Jim and Tammy Baker? Jimmy Swagger? Creflo Dollar? These men come and go. And we all, you know what we think? It's not going to happen to me. Yeah? Not going to happen to me. So what is in the Bible? And also H, to guard the church from participation in the spread of what? Doctrinal error. 2 John verses 9 through 11. 2 John verses 9 through 11. Says what? Everywhere in the world, you have folk that knock on your door and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Isn't that right? Well, how do you know if they believe in Jesus? Now, how will you know truth from error if you don't know the truth? Did you hear witnesses knock on your door tomorrow morning during the bank holiday? Say we want to share with you the Watchtower Society and talk about these 666 and the Mark of the Beast. Yeah. And you might laugh, but what you gonna tell them? Are you gonna invite them in? Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the what? Again, the doctrine of Christ, and does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. They said, well, we don't believe, we believe that Jesus was a good man, a good prophet, but the true prophet came after Jesus. What you gonna tell me? The Virgin Mary. No? Allah. What you gonna tell me? And so, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father, does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house, nor what? Now we can stand to the door. A woman stands in the door, and I'm going to say, well, you've got a Bible, turning your Bible to X, Y, Z. Is that in your Bible? Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to talk about the seven ones. Is that in your Bible? Where did that Bible come from? Well, the Bible says, where is that in the Bible? They may come once, but they won't be coming back to my house again. Do not receive them in. Don't greet them. But come on in. I didn't want to offend them, yes.
This passage.
Yes.
This one.
Yes.
Okay. I have a problem with that.
Okay.
Because we Africans, we have a large family. Yes. A large family.
Yes.
And I have a Jehovah's Witness relative too.
Yes.
So, they don't believe in Jesus Christ, but they believe in you.
Yes.
So, such person, who does not believe in God, but is my relative, how can I go with that person?
So
shouldn't I greet him when I see him?
What is the context of the scripture? What is going on in the scripture?
He said if that person comes to me, different doctrine.
Yeah.
But I have even a friend of Jehovah's Witness. Yeah. Who one day acquired with him because the doctrine was that she was giving me. It wasn't the right one. But this one is one of my family.
Your family. So are they coming there to study the Bible with you?
Okay, no.
Okay. That answers that question. So they're coming for a birthday party, a wedding, whatever. That's okay. But if they're coming, they're told about the Bible now. We ain't having it. Yeah?
So when he comes to study the Bible with me, and I don't agree, I shouldn't greet him if I see him, or whenever there's a family meet him, when he comes there, what should I do?
So here's the question. What was my question earlier? Who's teaching you? When they come with their little witness Bible.
But those people, they are stubborn.
Stubborn.
They are stubborn. They believe only what they are taught. That's how.
Do you think that you can convert a Jehovah's Witness?
No.
No?
Yes.
Of course. Yes. We have been Muslims in the Church of Christ, but there were former Jehovah's Witnesses. There's nothing impossible. Because, see, God is the one that prepares man's heart. Some things we do ignorantly. Sometimes because, just like he said, family tradition. We grew up Baptist, we're going to die Baptist. You sure? We would I would never, how long is never? I would never. And he said, oh my God. Because we sometimes plant a stake. It is very difficult. And here's the truth. It is very difficult if you built your life on a foundation and I come along and I want to try to rip that thing up. You've got to be careful with people because, see, that's why when we study with people, it's systematic. Feel, felt, and found. The three X. I know how you feel. I felt the same way until I found out the truth. Yeah, you look in scripture. All throughout scripture, when Philip went to the Ethiopian eunuch and said, do you understand what you're reading? How can I? Unless some man guides me. He could have been arrogant to say, I've been a Baptist for 30 years, and I'm going to die back. No, he was humble. God prepares man's heart. What does Romans 1, 16 and 17 say? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live. Well, I think the power is not one. The power is in God's word. You go to a study sometimes and people say, nobody's ever explained that to me before. How many in us have said that recently? Nobody has ever shown me that before, but it's always been in there. So when you come, you say, I'm not here to tell you anything. We're going to let the Bible speak for itself. Is that okay? Yes, yes, yes. No, I'm going to give you book, chapter, and verse. Amen. When I have a study for a person, I have a Bible. They've got the same version of the Bible. Turn with me to such and such, and I let them read. What are they doing? They're teaching themselves. It's not what I say, but remember we agree, we're going to let the Bible speak. So when they're fighting, who are they fighting against? The Word of God. And when they're talking, I'm going to say, well, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? You keep bringing them back to Scripture. Bring them back to truth. Well, I've always been taught what they said in the Bible. You see?
Yeah, that's what I was always saying. The way you present your Bible is very important.
Yes.
Yes. But if you go to a family member,
yes,
but they can't even come to you, like, when you're telling them you're a church, you're a church,
yes,
they don't listen to you.
Right.
But yeah, with your behavior, when you present, you even ask you,
yes,
which church do you attend?
Yes.
I use myself as an example.
Yes.
Someone did not preach to me, but when I was moving out of it, their behavior changes, make a difference.
It was attractive to you.
Yeah, I never said I would go to the church.
Yes.
The church to me, it was like, oh, boring.
Yes.
But with the preacher's behavior,
yes,
in which he humbled himself,
yes,
oh,
yes,
I really want to let me, who are you?
Yes.
Is there another way to present?
Yes.
It's
true. It's true. And remember what I said earlier. People are watching this. If you... This is for free. Those of us who are Christians, we're in the name of Christ. That means Christ-like. None of us have ever seen Jesus with our natural eye. But we were in the name of Christ. So we represent Jesus to people. What type of Jesus do people see in us? You ever consider that? What type of Jesus? And you better make sure it's the best Jesus. You said that Christianity is a lifestyle. The people in your job are judging the church based on how you behave. Yeah, Christ-like. And so, this person, they come into your house to present to you Jesus. Don't let them in, and here the Bible says why. For he who greets him, what does what? Shares in his evil deeds. If you're not teaching them, they're teaching you. Yeah? So I'll let them have their say. Oh yes, come on in, because somebody might be sincere. Yeah,
that's my point. So let's assume he comes to me to teach me.
Yes.
And I opened him because I don't know why. He comes in, he's coming to teach me, and I send him away. When there's a family meeting, when I go there, should I greet him or ignore him?
Remember that we're talking about in a spiritual setting. It's a spiritual setting. So I give people the benefit of the doubt. The Jehovah's Witness comes to my door, I'll say, come on in. Or have a conversation with them at the door and ask them some questions. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes. Do you believe that there is one God? Yes. Okay, come on in. Now they will bring out their doctrine. But because guess what? They're coming. You know why the Jehovah's Witnesses go out? To evangelize. To win people. Yes. And they know their stuff. But guess what you've got to know? You've got to know their stuff and your stuff. Do you know what the Jehovah's Witness believes? Does everybody in here know what the Jehovah's Witness believes? Seventh-day Adventists, that, do you know what these people believe? So, guess what your job is? To educate yourself. because you have a responsibility to go, Matthew 28, 18 to 20, the Great Commission, go into all the world. That's your job. That's not my job. That's your job. Go into the whole world, because your world is not my world. I don't shop where you shop. I don't live where you live. I don't work where you work. That's your world. And when judgment day comes, you will be held accountable. I will be accountable for my world. I was at the gym last night. And last week, what was I doing in the gym, George? What was I doing in there? Evangelizing. Huh? And you're going to tell me your stuff. I'm going to tell you my stuff. People are watching. People are watching. So you have influence. Yes.
All right. Just to finish your lesson, I just want to talk about a question. So I know that one of the area where we might have trouble with that passage is the point where he said, do not greet. In the context of that, do not greet him, it's not about saying hello, hi, good morning. It's not that. That's not what it means. What he's trying to say is that, for example, in his work of his teaching, do not greet him, like saying, well done, you are doing a great job. That is the part he's talking about. Not that somebody says good morning and you refuse to answer. Not that kind of the greeting in the work of his doctrine. Like, well done, fantastic job, and things like that. So
let us go back.
The complimenting the work. So that is the greeting, what it means. If you read other versions, they'll interpret it in a different way.
You remember when Jesus sent out the 70?
Yeah.
You studied that in the Gospel of Matthew. What did Jesus tell the disciples when he sent them out? Go out, don't take the money purses with you. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And what else did he tell them? If they don't receive you into the house, shake the dust off your feet, take back your greeting. Yes? Remember what fellowship is. Fellowship is two people in going in the same direction. Yes? When we greet a person, we are inviting them in. Yes? To say, I'm okay and you're okay. Or we're not okay. We're not on the same page doctrinally. Okay? So you can say good morning, good afternoon, nice to see you, everything okay, you work from such and such an organization. Okay. And how can I help you today? Well, we're just in the area doing XYZ, and when they're finished, can I ask you a few questions? And if they don't have the right answer, thank you very much. I'm not interested. You have a wonderful day. Yes, because guess what? I would encourage each of you to go online, do some research. The Jehovah's Witnesses have schools, the Mormons too, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, they have schools that they send their young people to, and they indoctrinate them. They know their stuff. And you, if you know the Bible, if you know the truth, you can send them on the way thinking. Not to say, because sometimes we can win the argument, and sometimes we're argumentative, but we can lose a soul. I want to be humble enough to recognize, listen, this person may only know what they've been taught, just like us. How did you become a Christian? Somebody had the courage to sit down with you and the patience to share God's truth with you. I've been to the Amy Church, Pentecostal Church, Seventh-day Adventist Church. Mama sent us to church. She didn't come with us. I thought I was a good person. You know, I wasn't perfect. Until one day, my a lady from the neighborhood said, Gary, do you want to come to church? And I went to this Church of Christ. And I didn't even knew it was the Church of Christ. Never heard of it before. My grandmother was a member of the Church of Christ. I didn't even know that. Heaven on, that's a member of the Church of Christ. I never knew that. I became a Christian at the age of 20 years old. Would you like to have a study? Went through that study with the preacher and got to the point, do you want to be baptized? Like that, sir. I said, got baptized. Was staying with my sister at the time. And that day, June 25th, 1990, was the same day I started my first full-time job. Yeah? And she was baptized the next week. And so, someone had the courage to speak God's truth to me. So that's what you've got to do. When that family member comes, they may have an agenda. They're coming for socialized family meeting. This is an opportunity. Listen, can I share some information with you? Take this to him and study it out. If you got any questions, we can sit down and talk about it. You can study God's word in a lot of different ways. And so, again, do not greet that person. Because when they're coming and they're saying, can I give you something? They're giving the Watchtower Society. Do you have something to give them back? How many of us have some information that we can put in people's hands if they ask us a question about the church? If not, why not? That's your job. That may be the only time you're one of us. You're in an airplane. You may never see that person again. You're on the plane of salvation. You've got on just a little small index card in the wallet or whatever. Can I give something to you too? You giving me something, I got something for you too. Take this home and study it out. Here's my number. Call me. But who are you waiting on? You're waiting on me. You're waiting on the preacher. You're waiting on what you're waiting on. You got this Bible here. It's all in there. Hear, believe, repent, confess. What did I miss? What did I miss? Be baptized. And you got a scripture for each one. Five things. How did you get in there? Well, I did five things. Can you tell the person the five things you need to become a Christian? That's all you got to do. And so guess what? What are we trying to do? Because sometimes we step outside the line as Christians. And God has put in place a mechanism to keep us and bring us back. Bring us back. Come on back down here, George, because God has not finished with you. And we love you too much to let you keep going down this road. But if you continue to go down this road, I can't keep company with you. People will have no desire to change their behavior if we make it appear to them that everything's okay. If everything's not okay. If you made a choice, God has already made a choice. Whatever is bound in heaven shall be bound on earth, and whatever is loosed in heaven shall be loosed here on earth. It may get uncomfortable, it will. You may not like it, it don't matter. You don't have to understand it, you just gotta do it. And when they come and ask you why you're doing that, you get this paper out that I gave you, and if you don't have a copy, I'll get you one. And you say, the reason why I said that to you is because the Bible says in Matthew 18, Titus, you get one Bible. You keep bringing them back to that Bible. Don't call me if you don't want the Bible. That's all I have for you. Yeah? Sanctified and bought by truth. What does the Bible say? Your word, John 17, 17. Your word is... I'm not the truth. Jesus is the truth, and you must stand on the truth. And we cannot be united
if we're not going, all of us going the same direction. That makes sense? Our brother Doton, would you be kind enough to close us out in the word of prayer?